Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying, no matter what it looks like. Don't stop praying. Amen. All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion, and we'll... Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your communion. You gave us this for our health, our healing. You told us to discern the body of Christ and look at him and his sacrifice, see his sacrifice in this bread. We see his sinless body in this. And this bread has been beaten and bruised for us. This body was beaten and bruised. And there's stripes in this bread, and we know that it's by his stripes that we were healed. And his body was pierced for us. And everywhere he shed blood, we get redemption in some area. Also, this bread has been slightly burned. And that means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. So, Father, we partake of his broken body for our healing, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. That shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. When that blood hit this earth, everything changed. When we call on the name of Jesus, that blood washes away our sins, all of them. And this blood makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That way we are able to go into God's presence as though nothing ever happened. Because of the blood of Jesus, nothing did. We thank you for this. Come on in. Well, all right. Are we having children's church today?
We are.
We are. Okay. You better go back there and learn about Jesus so when you go to school, you can tell your friends about him. All right. Well, you made it. Are you now officially full time? No more trips back?
Well, the surgery's Wednesday, the 24th.
You don't have any more stuff to haul back, do you?
No.
That's all done with. Okay. Okay. All right. Praise God. Where are y'all folks from?
Valmarais.
Valmarais? Wow. Okay. Well, glad to have you. All right. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 15. And we do have an extra Bible back here. We have an extra. Can you grab her one of those Bibles back there? We prayed for him. Yeah. 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 Yeah, we have Bibles back there people can use. And... All right. In John chapter 15, verse 12, it talks about Christ. Relationship of believers to each other. Our relationship to each other as believers. Not only to each other, but to the world And in verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And I stop right there. You know, we run around and we talk about loving one another, but he's talking about actually stopping what you're doing to go help somebody else. Go out of your way to help somebody else. You know, literally, to lay down your life, you're going to take time out of your day, out of your busy schedule. Maybe lay your work aside. Maybe drive, I don't know how many miles you might have to drive to do it, but you're going to go out of your way to help somebody else. There's a lot of people that need a lot of help. You know, I've seen an interesting thing. You know, we always like to run around saying that we're all in the same boat. Well, we're not in the same boat. We're all in the same storm. Some people floating around in yachts, some in canoes, and some that are in the process of drowning. We need to be reaching out, finding those people that are in trouble and helping them. You know, thank God, if you got your life together and everything's going good, praise God for that. There's somebody out there that doesn't. You know, maybe they weaved when they should have wobbled. Life happens, you know, sometimes people crash and burn. Sometimes they help the process along considerably with their life, the way they live, you know. But it's not for us to judge. It's for us to reach out to them. Maybe, you know, sometimes if people can get just a breath of fresh air, they'll repent. They'll turn around and stop doing what they were doing and latch on and start living life to the fullest. I've seen that sometimes people just need to understand that they've been forgiven. People don't know that sometimes. Sometimes when they finally understand that they've been forgiven, they live their life completely different. You know, I knew a man that lived his life in condemnation because he thought he murdered people. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, I was in Beirut." And I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Was you in the army?" And he said, "Yeah, I was in the service." And I said, "So you was in the military?" He said, "Yeah." And I murdered people. And I said, "You didn't murder nobody. You may have killed somebody, but you didn't murder somebody." And he looked at me kind of funny and said, "That's what the original Ten Commandments says, don't murder. It doesn't say kill, it says don't murder." And I said, "God forgives you." And you could see he got a whole complete different countenance on his face, and his life just completely changed. He was a completely different person from that point on. He thought he was separated from the love of God. See, Jesus tells us that you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. But if people don't ever hear the truth, how are they going to walk in freedom? It's going to take us telling them the truth. You know, there's been a lot of lies about God. People have heard a lot of lies about God. And they're walking around in condemnation and fear because of the lies they've been told about God. How many of you ever heard that if you do something wrong, that God is going to punish you? The forewrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus on the cross. Now, he punishes you for a mistake, then the death of Jesus was of no avail. He counted it good enough. His sacrifice is good enough. He puts you in this covenant of grace. Amen? Amen? We're under grace. We are under the blood of Jesus. Now here's the thing. Don't go poking the bear. People have a bad habit. saying, I'm saved by grace, and then they go jump in the fire. Don't do that. Don't do that. You are saved by grace, but that doesn't give you a license to be an idiot. He gave you wisdom. He's given you the mind of Christ. He's given you the Holy Spirit to teach and guide you. It would behoove you to read the Bible and follow Jesus to avoid some of these pitfalls. And you got to know that if you... This is one of my biggest pitfalls ever in the whole wide world. Sweets. Ever since I quit drinking, I had to watch myself. Because chocolate, peanut butter cups, it's not as bad as it used to be. I used to just sit there, I'd eat a whole bowl of peanut butter cups. All of them, until they were gone. Cake. I love cake. I love sweets. I just devour that stuff. And then I get heartburn. I said, why is this happening? He said, the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, you're a pig. You can have some. It's okay to have some. But you don't have to eat the whole thing. I said, oh, yeah, okay. So I do good for a while. And then I relapse. but look, it's the same thing with everything. People have a tendency to just go all or nothing, you know. The Bible doesn't say that it's a sin to drink. Did you know that? A pastor friend of mine said he didn't qualify to be a pastor if his denomination found out, because he drank a half a beer one time when he was a kid. Said if his denomination found out that he drank that half a beer, they wouldn't let him be a pastor. Drinking is not a sin. Getting drunk, however, the Bible says don't do that because you open yourself up to spirits that you don't want anything to do with. So, you know, overeating gets you in trouble. Overindulgence of anything will get you in trouble in some way or another. Amen. So we just got to be spirit-led on these things. But just carry on here. Jesus said in verse 14, you are my friends. I want you to think about that word friends. Circle that word and understand this. In the Bible, in the covenant times, they didn't walk around calling people friends. You know, like we use word friends lightly. I mean, we meet somebody, we've seen them around for a couple of weeks, all of a sudden we're friends. That's not what that meant. In the Bible, when you struck a covenant with somebody, literally when you struck a blood covenant with somebody, then you were friends. But that word friends means so much more than what we understand. That word friends means that whatever belongs to you belongs to me. Whatever belongs to you belongs to, whatever belongs to me belongs to you. I mean, if somebody comes after you, they're coming after me. This is where this word love, this agape love comes into play. Don't come after somebody who's in a covenant relationship. I mean, if somebody comes after you, they're coming after Jesus. You're in a blood covenant here, and Jesus is your head. Every single day of my life, there's some words that come out of my mouth. They're covenant words. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is as the Lord. The Lord causes my enemies that rise up against me to be defeated before my face. They come out against me one way and flee before me seven ways. God blesses those that bless me and curses those that curse me. That's my covenant heritage. Those words come out of my mouth every single day. Some people just don't understand what's happening. I don't have to protect myself. I have a covenant head who's much bigger than me that's going to take care of that. Amen? You need to learn those verses. Let those verses come out of your mouth all the time. This is God's protection for you. You're in covenant with Him. You're a friend, and that's much bigger than what we understand friends to be. He commands you. Henceforth, in verse 15, says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. This is a big thing. There's a common saying floating around the church world all the time, well, we're all just servants of God. We're all just lowly servants. No, you're not. The Bible tells us that you've been made ministers of the highest rank. You've been made ambassadors for Christ. You are a son of God. You are a child of God. It's very important to understand this. The Bible tells us that the Lord doesn't let His servants know what He's doing, but He does let His sons and His daughters know what He's up to. We need to hear from God. He has plans for us all the time. He has plans for our communities. He has plans for our churches. He has plans for our country. He has plans for the world. He lets us know what's going on. He tells us. He wants us to have that one-on-one personal relationship with Him, that personal fellowship with Him, where we can hear from Him for ourselves. We don't have to have a pastor to hear God for us. We don't have to have a priest hear God for us. We don't have to have a prophet hear God for us. We can hear God for ourselves. Amen. That's the relationship, that's the fellowship that He wants to have with us. That one-on-one personal fellowship. Our problem is we are so busy. And we are so active that it's hard to get still. To just stop and be still. How many of you have struggled and struggled and struggled looking for an answer and prayed about it and thought about it and worked on it hard for a long time, and then all of a sudden at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning you woke up and you understand perfectly what your answer was? All of us have. Is that when we finally got still and quiet enough to hear from God. Amen. Sometimes people are practiced enough, they can just sit still and be quiet and hear God. But we have to get our minds quiet and our bodies inactive and just be still before Him to hear from Him. Amen. He wants us to understand what He's doing. You're not a servant. You are a son. He's called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know, the Bible is not a mystery. It's an open book. He wrote out what we needed to know. And He keeps teaching us. You know, sometimes if we'll just listen to Him, He'll tell us not to go somewhere. Sometimes He'll tell us you need to take off a little early. Sometimes He'll tell us just to stop and wait. But we need to be checking in. Our spirits are connected to Him all the time. But we get so cluttered with activities and busyness and cares of the world, sometimes it takes a little bit of a challenge to hear his voice on the inside of us. Now here's this verse 16 is a challenge for me. It says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." So we'll stop right there, just right there. See, he chose us. You know, we were seeking something. You know, when we got born again, I mean, maybe some people's life was just so wonderful that they decided they're just going to serve Jesus, you know, when they got old enough to receive him as their savior. My life was a train wreck. That's why I got born again. I didn't want to go to hell. But somebody told me how I didn't have to go to hell, and my hand went up in the air fast. But he chose me. He chose me long before I was born. He chose you long before you was born. He knew you while you was in the womb. He had a wonderful life planned before you was even born. But here's the part that gets me. Jesus ordained us. Jesus ordained us to go and bring forth good fruit. Now, the church is so tied to the world system that it's almost impossible to deal with. When I went to Bible school, I got an ordination card. They ordained me in this Bible school. So I'm ordained to go do weddings and do this stuff. But only in Texas. See, I'm not ordained good enough to go do a wedding in Wyoming. You see how the government has hamstrung the church? I'm not ordained good enough to go to New Mexico and do a wedding. Because legally, according to these man-made laws, I can't sign a marriage license, a marriage certificate in Wyoming, because I'm not ordained in Wyoming. You see how foolish this stuff is? And that marriage license is another thing that has always befuddled me. I've never found anywhere in the Bible where anybody had to go get a license to go get married. Have you ever wondered about that? It's just a tax. And you got to go get some man's permission to do what God told you to do in the first place. And then you got to pay him to give you that permission. I mean, I follow the law. I mean, I do that. What we got to do, but I make people understand. That marriage certificate is a piece of paper. That's all it is. When you go get married, you're standing in the very presence of God and you're making a covenant with that woman between you and her and God. There is three of you involved in this covenant. This is not a contract you're making. This is a covenant you're making. And now you understand, maybe, if you cross my wife, I'm going to come down on you hard. Not because she's my wife, but I'm in covenant with her, and she's my woman, and you do that, we're going to have some hard things to talk about. That's the way every covenant should be. Every marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And you need to be willing to lay down your life for your wife. You have to. But see, the thing about a covenant, well, this Western world doesn't understand, is it's never ending. It never ends. The worldly contract, it may dissolve, but that you're still in covenant with your spouse. One guy I know, his son got divorced from his wife, and it was him, and his daughter-in-law couldn't quite figure this out. He was keeping track of her, taking care of her and the grandkids, helping her. She said, "Why are you doing this?" Said, "You're still my daughter. He's an idiot. You're still my daughter, and I'm still in covenant with you." He understood covenant. That's something America lacks. They sign these contracts and they say, well, contracts are made to be broken. This is not a contract. This is a marriage license. But here's the thing. You've been ordained to go forth and bring fruit. Bring forth fruit. The government was coming down on Joyce Myers one time. Said, "We need to see your ordination." She said, "My ordination is from Jesus. I'm not ordained by some man." That's cool. That's cool. He said, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Highlight that part of that verse right there. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Right there, Jesus gave us the directions for prayer. Whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name. So we pray to God in the name of Jesus, and that's how we receive our needs. You know, there's a false teaching running around saying you should never pray for yourself. That's just being selfish. That's being stupid if you don't. You need to pray for yourself. You need to ask God to help you. Ask God and thank Him for providing for you. Jesus gave us another clue when He's at the tomb of Lazarus. And he thanked his way to a miracle. So God has given us all these promises. So how do you appropriate these? Well, you find one in there that says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You go and you say, "Thank you, Father, for supplying all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You know what you just did? You just prayed. You prayed his word back to you. He thanked him for that answer. He's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Thank him for it. I'm still, my heart just explodes when I think about this. I thought it was just such a wonderful thing. On the radio the other day, I heard 99% of Texas was in a drought. This one little spot right here in Fort Davis was green and been getting rain. My heart about melted. I thought, God has truly been mindful of us. He didn't take his eyes off us. Right here, I don't know, a little section in this whole great big state has been blessed with rain. God is wonderful. Amen. And he never stops looking out for us. The more we thank him, guess what happens? The more blessings come your way. The more you thank him, the more it opens up that window. Have a thankful heart. Keep thanking Him for all good things. And keep thanking Him for things that are on the way. Amen? That's called praising God, too. The Bible tells us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes, you know, it's easy when you're on the mountain and everything's going your way and things are good. Get your hands up in the air and shout hallelujah, God is good. But when things are hard and it seems like the whole world is coming against you and nothing seems to be going right, that's when He tells us to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Get your hands in the air. Thank God for everything that you have. And you do have a lot. You do have a lot. If you have more than food, clothing, and shelter, you have an abundance. Sometimes we have to put things in perspective. America has been truly blessed. And it's gotten to the point where a lot of Americans are spoiled. I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and it rained. It really rained. We walked out of this building out on the sidewalk, and the water is just going crazy down these streets. And I seen these ladies there walking. They'd take their shoes off and walk through the water and get to where they needed to go. And I was just watching the scene, and I was watching everything. And I thought the water just looked black in the gutter, in the street and everything. And I thought, why would that water be black? And I looked down, and there was a septic in the sidewalk. There was a lid right there for the sidewalk, and that black water was coming up out of that septic. And I bumped my friend on the elbow, and I said, "We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed beyond measure. We really do have it good here. We have a wonderful life here. We have so much to be thankful for. Things are really, really good for us. Some of these little bumps and hiccups that we run into and really whine about, come on. We got it going on here. It's a good life. Amen? Verse 18. The relationship of believers to the world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. We have too many thin-skinned Christians running around. Too many Christians that get their feelers hurt because the world hates them. Too many Christians that feel bad because some Satanist doesn't like you. I got a question for you. If Satanists and people of the world, people that are doing bad, if they're all buddy-buddy with you, does that make sense? If you're at peace with your enemies, what good are you? If the world is not feeling some vibration when you show up, then maybe you've made peace with the wrong people. Now, I'm not saying that you just go treat them badly because you still they need to get born again. But here's the thing. If you don't let the world know they're wrong, how are they going to know they're wrong? There are people in town that are screaming mad because I tell them that abortion is wrong. There's people in this town that are screaming mad because I tell them that witchcraft and Satanism is wrong. There's some people in this town that hate me beyond measure because I let them know under no uncertain terms that what they're doing is wrong, and they know it. And some of them, they just completely avoid me to no end. That's okay with me. I don't get my feelings hurt over it. But they need to know that what they're doing is wrong. Amen? Not even going to tell you what they think about me and Marfa. But all these things will they do will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now here's the important thing for you to understand. They're not persecuting you. They're not talking bad about you because of you. They're talking bad about you. They're persecuting you because they hate Jesus. They don't want your light shining on their problem. They don't want you bringing Jesus into their midst. I face that all the time. I don't get invited to a lot of stuff because they know Jesus is going to come right in the middle of it. And they hate that. But that's our job, is to bring that light into the world and let your light so shine before men, amen, that they can see it. The interesting thing I learned is there's no darkness. Did you know that? There's no darkness. There's only absence of light. If you go into a room and you strike a match, the darkness goes. Strike another match, darkness goes. That's why Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A lot of people run around saying the dark is getting darker and darker and darker. That's not true. The light's getting brighter. The light keeps getting brighter, and people are shining their lights. Now I'm seeing a lot of people that are showing their light. You know, they used to kind of be undercover Christians, but they said, nah, we better get doing something. So they're letting their light shine. Amen? Don't be undercover. Let your light shine. Let people know about Jesus. You know, you realize this the first time since I keep track of Wyoming politics. That's where I'm from. I got family there. Liz Cheney got defeated. That's the first time in my whole entire life that there's not been a Bush, a Cheney, or a Clinton in politics, in a major part of politics. First time in my whole life. The light's getting brighter. The dark is fading away. The dark is being defeated. The light's getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Praise God. Keep praising God. Keep thanking God. Keep lifting his name up. The light is going to shine so bright that the darkness will not. The Bible says the darkness could not comprehend it. That means the darkness could not overtake it. In the beginning was the Word. Word was God. And the world could not comprehend it. That could not overtake the light. You keep shining the light on that, and that darkness will go away. Amen? Amen. It's going away before our eyes. Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. You're always mindful of us. You bless us continually. We thank you for it. Father, your word says that Jesus would never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that no matter what happens in this world, we can always count on you. We can always run to you. You are our fortress and our strong tower, our shelter. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Well, we have coffee and snacks and fellowship back here. Come on back and have some.